on WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Dan Cheer Show.
Oh, what a warm welcome. Thank you, folks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Glad you're all here. We stuff them in here, don't we? Cram them in the studio.
Well, there's a lot of people.
People here. It's getting warm, and we got to talk to Duke about getting the air working a little better in here. It's getting stuffy.
I think Duke is still a little upset with you for putting him on the
upset
spot.
Upset with me?
Well, you made
upset with me. He's the one who screwed up my thing with that stupid music he put on.
I think he's just tired of you, you know.
What? He is here to do our bidding. He's a servant of the
Duke
people.
Duke could crush you.
I know this.
With one hand.
But he is a servant of the people, and we are the people. Okay?
He's just shaking his head back there.
I'm not going to turn around. He can just stare at the back of my head for the next 15 minutes. I don't care.
Duke, can you palm a basketball with just your pinky?
That means he can palm my head as well.
Right. He could do that.
Yeah, what a guy.
Well, we were contrasting yesterday a little bit of the evangel.
Yeah, we got totally off our main topic into a glorious subdivision.
I want to show another distinction.
Okay, good.
But to do that, Romans 5, 1 and 2, and we were talking about this before, being then justified by faith, and we mentioned, I don't know if it was Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, but we were talking about justification is a declaration of righteous by God. He declares us righteous, but that doesn't satisfy his heart.
It's a judicial decision. It's a legal decision.
Right. But he wants more than that. He wants to bring us into his bosom, as it were, as his children.
Not just for us, but for him.
Yeah. And he says, but being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the access also. See, notice the alsos that are going to keep building up in Romans. We're justified, right? So because we're justified, we may be having peace toward God. There's no war anymore. Things are settled. It's just picture the most peaceful scene that you could possibly come up with in your mind. And that's your relationship with God right now. There's no war, no rivalry, no bitterness. God, everything with you and God is okay. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through in this life, whatever is happening in your life, everything with you and God is okay. If you're going through trouble right now as a believer, if you're sick, you're in pain, going through whatever you're going through, it's not a result of God being angry at you.
Right. Any kind of disquietness we feel is on our side of the window pane, not God's.
Right.
He is at peace with us, and we just believe what he says concerning that.
But that's not all. He says, through whom we have the access also. And he's like adding these blessings. We have access. We can walk right in to the throne room of God, as it were.
And who appreciates that, really? You don't appreciate it until you look back at when God began to reveal himself to Israel and all the thunders. You wonder, why did God have to go through all that? We talked about Israel as an example of man not being able to do the law and please God in the flesh. But one of the great things that happened then is God showed how great he was. He showed how difficult, how difficult it was to access him. He had to do everything just right to approach the presence. And if the priest made a mistake, you know, he went into that holy place trembling.
Yeah, he didn't go into the holy place in a relaxing
state. Oh, no. He had to dress just right. He had to have his hair combed just right. And they tied a rope around his ankle.
These words were, that he die not. That he die not. Were constantly referenced in there. He was always in there on fear of death. Now imagine, remember we talked about Paul when he said that phrase, apart from law.
Mm-hmm.
From a Pharisee's point of view, that's an amazing statement. Can you imagine if Aaron had been popped up, resurrected from the dead today? Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just imagine if we can resurrect Aaron with some magical Viagra pill.
Who was the high priest.
The high priest
in Israel.
Who had to go into this Holy of Holies all the time. And what if we told Aaron...
Actually, not all the time, once a year.
Once a year. What if he came in this room and he sat down in the studio and we asked him about his experience? He would tell us about this trembling experience he had. But what if, and then we say, well, guess what? We have access to God anytime we bloody well feel like it.
I don't believe you.
That's what he would say.
I don't believe you.
Can you imagine
that?
No,
he wouldn't understand that God's ways had changed that radically.
We are so brought into favor with God, we can walk right in. I remember one of the things you said on one of your old programs is that we can walk in, we don't have to wipe our shoes, we just walk right in.
Yeah, and boy, is that ever a contrast to the way it was. But thank God for that early demonstration, because with that example, and an example only, we're not supposed to rebuild the tabernacle. It's an example. Wow, look at the majesty of God. Look how awesome he is. Look what a presence. Look how his glory fills. And now we can walk with confidence into his very presence. Such a rare, rare thing. We don't appreciate it, but we need to.
Well, it says, and it continues, we have access also by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, I want you to ponder that. We have access into this grace in which we stand. This is our present standing before God. And we said it before on this program, we are not on probation. We are not given a second chance. As you know, people talk about there's a second chance. This is not what we've been given. We have been, everything's been cleared. We are justified, and we have access by faith into this grace in which we are now standing. We stand in grace. You know what that assumes?
What?
It assumes we're sinners. It assumes
because of grace.
Because of grace.
Yeah, grace can't even operate without sin.
Our present standing before God is in grace. And this is the grace in which we stand. Now, I want to contrast it for a minute with Peter. Turn to 1 Peter. Because we talked before about the different evangels. Remember in Galatians 2, Peter was committed with the evangel of the circumcision, and Paul was committed to, with the gospel, the evangel of the uncircumcision. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, you might have to take a minute and just read this. It's going to be like 8 verses here.
Take 2 minutes.
All right, here's what Peter is. First of all, notice who Peter's writing to. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the chosen expatriates of the dispersion. So who are they?
That's the Jews.
Who were scattered. They're expatriates. And he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. So first of all, friends, listen to this. Peter is not addressing Gentiles. He's not addressing Gentiles. He has the evangel of the circumcision, and these are the people to whom he is writing. And this is what he says to them. May blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his vast mercy regenerates us.
We talked about that earlier this week.
That's right. That's his new birth. Into a living expectation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead. Now, there's the common feature. Whether it's Peter or Paul, it's the same Savior.
Can I point out another common feature here that you read over in verse 2? May grace and peace be multiplied.
Yes.
I've had people say to me, well, look, there's grace.
Yeah, right.
So that proves that the message Peter is writing to the dispersion is the same one Paul's giving to the nations.
But we're going to get to that, because I'm going to point something out. We just read Romans 5, the grace in which we stand.
The grace in which we stand.
All right, stop now. Don't give it away.
I won't give it away. Steal your thunder, Mr.
All right,
Carey.
He goes on.
Rumble on.
Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, for the enjoyment of an allotment incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, kept in the heavens for you. That's reserved right now, okay? Hasn't come yet. Who are garrisoned by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last era. Now notice this is future. In which you are exulting. So these expatriates, these circumcision believers were looking for this to happen. Briefly at present, if must be, being sorrowed by various trials, that the testing of your faith, much more precious than gold which is perishing, yet being tested by fire, may be found for applause and glory and honor at the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Where's that take place?
Ooh, that's actually the title of a book of the Bible.
It's called The Unveiling.
Commonly termed Revelation.
Revelation. That unveiling takes place in Revelation chapter 19. At the unveiling of Jesus Christ, whom, not perceiving, you are loving, in whom, not seeing it present, yet believing, you are exulting with joy unspeakable and glorious. Remember, somebody said that we're undermining Israel? But right. What do we learn about Israel's hope, their expectation?
It's a glorious expectation.
It's glorious, and it's joy unspeakable.
Yeah, they're going to be totally fulfilled and happy when that kingdom
comes.
And
Peter's writing this when Paul's letters were in circulation.
These guys sat at the same table at one point.
And it says here, being requited with the consummation of your faith, the salvation of your souls. By the way, just as a quick comment, I know this is going to open a can of worms. The term saving of the soul or the salvation of the soul is never applied to the unbeliever, to a lost person, a heathen as it were. It's only found in circumcision writings and has nothing to do with going out and preaching the gospel.
Maybe that's all we hear today is going out and saving souls.
Right. Now, verse 10, here's where I wanted to get to. Concerning which salvation the prophets seek out and search out, who prophesy concerning the grace which is for who? For you.
The expatriates.
Who are they?
The Jews that have been scattered abroad.
This is a grace that is for the expatriates. This is for the Jewish people. This is the gospel, the evangel of the circumcision. Paul in Romans 5 is writing about the grace in which we stand. Peter is writing about the grace in which the circumcision people stand. Grace, in both occasions, one is to the nations, one is to the expatriates. Different callings, different expectations. Peter's group can go back to the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and point to this grace that's coming to them because it was prophesied. You and I can go to Paul's letters and see what our expectation is. Two different groups of people.
The only difference is the measure of grace. Grace is grace. There's even a verse that says God showed grace to Noah.
The measure of grace.
We have grace back in the days of Noah. So grace is grace is grace. It's the measure of grace that we see with our evangel, the evangel of Paul. Don't get thrown off by the word grace there.
Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, this is how he ends his letter. Verse 12, through Silvanus, a brother, a faithful brother, as I am reckoning, I write briefly to you, entreating and deposing that this is the true grace of God in which you are to stand. This is what they stand in. And Romans chapter 5 talks about the grace in which we stand. And you will not find justification in Peter's letters. You will find that they are a holy nation, a holy priesthood. And this is all part of the Hebrew Scriptures and the promises that are given to them. And it's a joyous expectation. It's a wonderful grace. But you and I have been shown the exceeding riches of His grace. A measure of grace is even more.
You're actually quoting Scripture there.
Ephesians
exceeding,
chapter 2.
Exceeding measures of His grace.
Yes.
It's measure, not type. It's the same grace. It's a different measure. Folks, Peter talked about an expectation. He talked about those who prophesy concerning the grace seeking out in the prophets. Paul talks about the untraceable riches of Christ in Ephesians. You cannot trace this grace in the prophets or the Old Testament. It's a new message. We hope you are hearing that message today and that God blesses you with every spiritual blessing among the celestials. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.